starting out Dan Fingers in there.
Good morning. We'll call the February 11th, 2014 County Council meeting ordered. First thing on is the approval agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, Council. At this time, we have no amendments to the agenda.
I sent you an email.
That's correct.
Yes.
Mrs. Deaver had requested discussion of planning and zoning process. I put it under my name, and we're not ready to have that discussion. So we can strike that item. Thank you, Mrs. Deaver, for reminding me.
Entertained a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
I'll approve it.
Motion, Mr. Wilson.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We had the minutes of February the 4th. Any corrections, additions, concerns?
Didn't see none.
Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, we have two letters, Mr. President. The first is from Lewis in Bloom, thanking the Sussex County Council for their efforts and donation for the grant for the garden in Stango Park, and also from Calvary Cafe and Community Clothes Closet in Milford, Delaware, and thanks for the support that County Council has given them.
Any correspondence from Council? Mr. Lawson.
Thank you. The only item I have now is the County Administrator's Report for February 11, 2014. Item number one. In 2 weeks, on February 25, 2014, Deputy Attorney General Jason Stabe will present information regarding the Freedom of Information Act, commonly known as FOIA. The AG's office is scheduled to present what they are referring to as their FOIA roadshow to a number of Delaware municipalities here in Sussex County. The Attorney General's presentation will provide counsel and staff the opportunity to learn how their office interprets the law's requirements and ask specific questions regarding the county's efforts to remain compliant with FOIA. Item number two, per the attached engineering department fact sheet, Millville by the Sea subphase 2C2 received substantial completion effective February 6, 2014. Item number three, we'd like to congratulate the Sussex County EMS competition team on their fourth place finish at this year's GEMS International Games competition held in Washington, D.C. last week. The team, consisting of Drew Vickers, Kevin Erb, Jason Hansen, and Brandon Rogers, did an outstanding job as 19 teams from across the region, country, and the world, with teams from Australia and England competing this year. In the last 10 years, SCEMS has competed in the GEMS Games. Our competition teams have finished fifth or better every year and have won 6 medals in the 10 years they've competed. And last, it is with sadness we inform you that Charles Spicer, county pensioner, passed away on February 8, 2014. Mr. Spicer served as the Clerk of Peace from January 1987 through 1994 and sheriff from January 1994 until his retirement in 1999. We would like to express our condolences to the Spicer family. Information on Mr. Spicer's services is forthcoming. Thank you, Mr. President.
Ask a question.
Mrs. Deaver.
Mr. Lawson, Mr. Godwin goes to those wetland committee, advisory committee meetings. Is there a report? I'd like to catch up on what they're doing. How would I do that?
Yes. Mr. Godwin is our appointed member to the Wetlands Ad Hoc Committee.
Right.
In fact, he's absent today because the committee is meeting as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it's his responsibility. He's been directed by me to come back and report on the committee's activities. If he is aware of an anticipated vote that we can discuss prior to that action, he should bring that to the council's attention.
Okay.
And then after the committee meets, like today, he should provide a report on the action that took place.
Okay, that's great.
So we've incorporated any updates that he should provide the council on his weekly updates, including the legislation and committee action.
Right. I do remember he talked about it. I just looked for – he used to send us written reports, and I missed that.
That particular committee hasn't met in some time now, and they've reconvened today. So there hasn't been any action to report until whatever takes place today.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
More questions, Mr. Lawson?
I just learned what
Mrs. Wilson.
What Mrs. Deaver was really interesting about wetlands since I serve on that committee with Soil and Water Commission. So I'm just wondering, what is it? What is the big beef here? What is the problem with wetlands?
I thought she was asking to have a report by how going this statewide committee.
I didn't know she asked this question. She's interested in wetlands, and I was just wondering what it was. What was the big
protection of wetlands is what the usually issue is with wetlands.
Well, protection of wetlands can go a long way. You can go into a farmer's field, he's putting a new irrigation system in, and it may just might mean moving 15, 20 trees that comes around so the thing can't make a complete circle. And if it's leads a lot of times to opinions what a wetland is.
Mr. President, we're getting away from the agenda items. It started out as a question, and we shouldn't have a discussion on something that's not on the agenda.
All right. I've said enough.
Mrs. Jennings?
I did want to answer one more thing.
Wilson.
It says here, information on Mr. Spicer's services forthcoming. Does anyone know what the answer is that now?
It's going to be at Melson's Funeral Home in Frankfort. The spouse had not met as of yesterday with the director. Should have some information later today.
So we still don't, okay.
Any more questions? Mrs. Jennings.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. I'm just going to briefly discuss the county's insurance procurement process. This is just informational only, and no council action is needed. Every 3 years, the county rebids its insurance package. This includes automobile, general liability, law enforcement, public officials, employment practices, workers' compensation, umbrella, property, outfall pipeline, crime, and airport. The RFP will be finalized next week, and then we will begin advertising. The bids, we expect to get intents to bid in March with final proposals in May, and then I would bring the final results to council in June. Any questions?
Any questions, Mr. Jennings? Thank you.
Okay. The next item is the quarterly report. I laid a hard copy on your desk. In color? So if you can look at the first sheet, it's the revenues. You can see that our revenues are still positive compared to last quarter as well. The largest increase is really transfer tax at 45%. Looking at this, we're anticipating about $20 million in really transfer tax. The last time we saw that is in 2008, so it's been quite some time. Building and construction revenue is about 40% over budget. We are about 20% over last year when you compare it to actual numbers. So overall, our total revenues are 13% over budget.
I see.
And if you look at every line item, out of the 30 line items, only 6 are under budget. So we have a very positive year. And those 6 line items, most of that is just timing. So I expect most line items to be over budget by the time June 30th comes around.
Except with the possible exception of dog licensing, I guess.
Well, dog licensing, because that's the timing. We start that in January. So most of that revenue, when I bring in the next quarter, you will see that fall right in line.
Any questions, Mr. Jennings?
No.
I think it's great.
Yeah. You going to do expenses?
And then, yeah, if you look at the expenses, the next sheet, even though our revenues are up, our expenses are right in line with budget, just a little bit below, about 1% below budget. But as you can see, most departments are running under budget. The line items that are above budget are just because of timing, such as insurance or repairs and maintenance that are due at the beginning of the year. But I don't see anything that we need to be concerned about any department being over budget when the year end comes in June 30. Okay, and then the last sheet is our capital improvements. And you can see that we have spent $4 million in projects so far this year, most of it being airport, which is the 422. And then the next line item is library, which is the Greenwood Library. and you can see we're spending about $1.8 million of appropriated reserve, and we have $5.3 million in the budget to be spent. So we're right in line with our capital projects budget as well. Is there any questions?
Any questions, Ms. Jennings?
I just kind of, I remember when we had your report here at County Council that our pension funds are not as highly funded. I guess the percentage is not as great as it used to be. I'm wondering if there's any chance we could add to that and maybe build it up just a little bit.
Yes. When I brought in the financial report, we had $1.8 million in there where we budgeted from the previous year. So out of that 1.8, $1 million we're putting into the pension fund, okay, in addition to our annual required contribution.
All right. So it will be better than you reported.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Great.
Any more questions, Ms. Jennings? Julie Cooper, Greenwood Library, change order number 5.
Good morning.
Morning.
I am here to request a change order for Greenwood Library Project. This would be number 5. Right now, the Greenwood Library Project is approximately at 82% completion, and this change order proposal is comprised of one adjustment to the project, and that adjustment is the installation of a yard drain in the area between the railroad tracks and the entrance plaza to the new building. The railroad berm is higher than the plaza, and the site grading originally called for the water to drain across the plaza toward the parking lot where there's a catch basin. And during construction, concerns were raised about the potential for ice to form on the plaza where people walk when they come in the building.
Ice skating.
And so it was determined that a drain in the area between the tracks and the plaza would eliminate water runoff over the plaza. The contractor's proposal for this change is $1,622.50. This includes excavation, equipment, materials, and labor. And I would like to point out, if I could, that including this proposal, change orders for the Greenwood Library Project total less than 0.5% of the total project budget, which is 0.0044. The general contractor, Richard Y. Johnson, should be commended for striving to keep change orders to a bare minimum.
You have a motion, ma'am?
It's really hard to believe that they couldn't see that railroad bid was higher.
Well, if you consider the entire site.
I mean, I'm not even an engineer.
Right.
Some people said I could see that was a.
Well, if you consider the entire site, one oversight spot is not bad at all. That's unusual that we only have one issue with grading.
That's unusual. We couldn't see that railroad bid was higher than that, where that building was.
You have a motion, ma'am?
Yes, sir.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of the consulting architect, that change order number 5 for Sussex County Project 0705, Greenwood Library, be approved in the amount of $1,622.50, thereby increasing the contract total from $2,779,330.76 to $2,780,953.26.
Pleasure of council.
Mr. Wilson, want to make a motion?
Motion, Mr. Phillips.
I'll second.
Mrs. Deaver. Mm-hmm. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
It's not quite 10:30 yet. We'll move to, let's do our grant request. Mrs. Jennings?
Mr. President, we have 3 grants for your consideration. The first one is the Indian River High School. The IR Soccer Boosters are requesting funding to purchase championship rings for 27 players and coaches. The cost is $4,725. A similar grant was given to the IR Football Boosters in the amount of $400, which was $200 from Mr. Cole and $200 from Mr. Phillips.
Make that motion. Thanks.
I have a motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mr. Phillips, to grant $400 in your high school for indoor soccer boosters purchase championship rings.
I did want to ask
I'm sorry.
Question.
Yes, go ahead.
Ms. Jennings, did we give a similar amount to another sports team?
She just said it, football, same amount. We're doing the same.
Is it the same as, I thought we bought something for Laurel, maybe that was a little higher? Does it ring a bell?
No, I mean, I can look it up.
Yeah, we did do something for Laurel.
This was the same school district, just a different booster.
So you gave more to Laurel than you have to Indian River? Is that what you're trying to say and you're feeling guilty?
I give 500 to Indian River, 200 Mr. Cole.
Second?
Motion, Mr. Phillips, second, Mr. Cole, to grant $700 to Indian River for soccer boosters for championship rings. $500 for Mr. Phillips, $200 for Mr. Cole. Any questions on the motion?
How many?
Mrs. Deaver.
How long is this going to go on? I mean, I know our people are great athletes, but I'm just wondering, championship rings, I'm just wondering how important it really is.
Would you like to participate in this one?
You know, I got a letter sweater, remember, from Seaford, and I still wear it. You saw me in it the other day, didn't you?
It's still government money.
I cherish it.
It's government money, worries me, but
It's taxpayer money.
I'm keeping a track of it. Okay.
That was the best time of my life.
We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay. The next one is the town of Georgetown. They're requesting funds to purchase a stage to be used at the events such as Caroling on the Circle, Return Day, and Christmas Parade. They requested $5,000. $1,500 was provided to them in January. An additional $3,500 is needed to fully fund this request.
And this is used for return days and all those things from Mulder County, right?
That's correct.
So
do we have another fund that we could use to look to for this money? Is there another?
Not for this.
No.
Not for this.
I'll give him the balance.
$3,500.
I'll kick in.
That's all right.
You got it?
I got it.
Okay.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second.
Second.
Mr. Phillips, to grant $3,500 to the town of Georgetown for the purchase of the stage that's used at Returns Day and Caroling on the Circle and other events.
Did they ask for five?
They asked for five. We gave them $1,500 January. They come back now to $3,500. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
They ought to name that after you, Sam.
Tell them that.
I'll call them up.
Give him a ring.
Everybody will be sitting on it. That's appropriate.
The last request.
From all over the county, too.
Is the town of Laurel and the Laurel Historical Society. They're asking council to help with the $10,000 that is needed to repair the Laurel Heritage Museum. Last grant was $500.
Sure, yeah, whatever.
Sure.
Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead.
I'd like to give $3,000 from Mr. Vincent and $2,000 from me.
Motion, Mr. Phillips.
Second.
Second, Mr. Cole. To grant the town of Laurel for the Heritage Museum repairs, $5,000, $3,000 from my account, $2,000 Mr. Phillips' account. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Mr. Moore, any proposed zoning ordinances?
Yes, Mr. President. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for antique auto sales to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Little Creek Country, Sussex County, containing 2.18 acres, more or less, tax map ID 5-32-19-54.07, part of the 911 address is 8658 Old Racetrack Road, Del Mar, Delaware, 19940. It's District 5.
I'll introduce it.
Is it an application to become GR or what? I missed that part.
It's an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR residential
within
district.
Within the GR. Okay, yes. Gotcha. Conditional use. Thank you.
And the second one is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a C1 general commercial district for a food vendor to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 9.6 acres, more or less, tax map ID 1-34-12-330.01. 911 address is 34854 Atlantic Avenue, Ocean View, Delaware, 19970, in District 4.
Okay. That's what George is going to do when he retires.
What are they serving? Depends on what, if I want to introduce them. Is it hot dogs?
I have no idea. Just says for a food vendor.
All right, I'll take a chance on it then. We'll see.
Mr. Cole introduces it.
Chinese?
And the next one, Mr. President, is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a B1 neighborhood business district for a landscaping business and supply area to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 1.17 acres, more or less. And 911 address is 24808 John J. Williams Highway, Millsboro, Delaware, 19966, and it's District 4.
Okay, I'll introduce that one too.
Mr. Cole introduces it.
I got a question for Everett, based on what you just read about the food vendors.
Yes.
I thought we had a discussion a while back, and I can't remember, maybe we did or didn't, but that was in a commercial district? Go back to that one.
Yes, it is.
C1.
It is a C1 general commercial district for a food vendor.
And they're asking for a conditional use.
That's correct.
Requires two public hearings and quite extensive. I thought we had one time discussed the possibility of putting that as a special exception and putting it down to the Board of Adjustment for just one hearing, because it doesn't...
It's almost like a less of a use.
Well, vendors are usually self-contained, you know, and stuff like this, and I don't see where something that's portable, that is that portable of an operation should have to go through a conditional use possibly and go through two hearings. So is there any thoughts on with the council, maybe we look to trying to maybe modify that? Because I know like in front of Home Depot they have one, in front of some of the existing, you know, big businesses, box stores and stuff, to cater to their customers more so than anything else. Anyway, just a thought. I just think that it seems excessive to go through two hearings for a food vendor.
We can get Mr. Lawson to talk with Mr. Lank and Mr. Moore and see if that kind of makes sense to do something like that, and they can bring it back to us so we can report.
I do remember a discussion of that before, and I believe it was actually during a public hearing when someone wanted a hot dog stand, and it was near an establishment, I believe on Route 20, and you had that discussion. Mm-hmm. I don't recall anything subsequent to that.
Well,
Mr.
I think
Cole.
It just kind of got on a shelf and maybe just kind of, you know, still sitting there. So anyway, maybe it's something we could look at, because I think it would make it more convenient. Food vendors are very popular now throughout the country, and I don't see any way any reason why we should make it that difficult.
Well, it depends, I guess, what size that food vendor may be.
Pardon me?
I say, I guess it would decide what size of that food vendor may be, because sometimes I see them up in Washington and trucks got dual wheels on. Oh, I mean, they're 18, 20, 30 feet long. And then again, it might be a rack, just something you push around.
Well, that would be brought up in a public hearing, but at the Board of Adjustment, as opposed to two hearings in front of us.
I agree with what you're saying.
That's all I'm just saying.
I'm agreeing with what you're saying, but I'm thinking, you know, there is a difference here in these food vendors.
You just want to argue a little bit.
Some of them are much larger.
No, physically larger.
Right.
You're right, but what we've
almost
typically,
like a
yeah.
Small store, so speaking.
Sure. Mr. Lawson,
I have a question.
If you'll add that to your list of things, thank you. Mrs. Deaver.
I have one more question. If I understood you to say we have an application under a B1 to have a landscape business, is that correct? Did I understand that correctly?
Under in a B1,
mm-hmm.
Let's see. Yes, it was for a conditional use plan in a B1 neighborhood business district for a landscaping business and supply area.
Yeah, I'm just wondering why we do that, because it seems to me that's not an objectionable use.
But that's because it's outside storage, I think. I think the B1, the B1 doesn't permit the stuff to be placed outside.
Well,
and stacked up and all that
stuff. Okay. Mr. Guy, any additional business brought before council back there?
Landscaping is a permitted use in the agricultural district.
Not B1.
Mr. Dan Kramer?
Not B1. We have outside display. That's what it is. That's the difference, B1 and C1.
My name is Dan Kramer. 2 weeks ago, I think I asked a question about why these inspectors do not stop, and you guys told me it's a policy. Well, then, if it's a policy, is it written policy? I want to know where it's written, And if it's just a verbal apology, then I want to know that too.
Sounds like a good thing to know.
We'll now back up on the agenda to our 10:30 public hearing, community development block grants. Step on down, Mr. Whaley.
Thank you. Good morning, Council. I'd like to thank the Council for allowing us to hold a public hearing today. Part of the CDBG requirements is that we hold a public hearing, and it gives the citizens an opportunity to participate in the development of an application to the Delaware State Housing Authority for the Community Development Block Grant Program for the upcoming year. Over the past 10 years, the Sussex County and the communities within the county have received over $12.4 million in CDBG and home funding, and we've been able to assist over 1,600 households, and the projects include housing rehabilitation, demolition, infrastructure, and sewer and water hookups. The CDBG program uses funds that Congress allocates to the Department of Housing and Urban Development. These funds are specifically for housing purposes, and they include providing a safe, affordable housing and decent living conditions. They also provide economic opportunities in several ways. Through the Section 3 guidelines, we track, or we have the contractors track the income of the people that work for them. So this funding actually shows that it helps on both sides of the equation. It helps the homeowner, it helps the contractor, and it also helps the people that work for them, as well as the suppliers of the materials that we use on the jobs. Also, part of the hearing requirement is that we hold, that I give a status report. And this is for the 2013 year. You'll be able to see where the funding went. Frankfort got funding for rehabilitation. Georgetown got funding for both infrastructure and rehab. And it also, in the very end, you'll see the percentage of completion. So Georgetown's infrastructure we've been working on for a couple years, and we just finished it right after Christmas. It was a street improvement project on Margaret Street. We've also done some rehabs in Georgetown. We just started in Laurel. Seaford got some rehab funding. Cool Springs, we're almost done with the Cool Spring funding, about two-thirds done with Coverdale. Mount Joy, Royal Selbyville. And if we could go to the next one. This is the scattered rehab. They cut us here this year. We normally get in a $250,000 to $300,000. And what they did was they increased our home funding, was at the bottom, and we can use that in a very similar manner. We can do our people that are waiting in the countywide waiting list. Demolitions we're just getting started on. Scattered sewer and water hookups, we're about two-thirds done with that. Scattered rehab, the emergency rehab, we're about two-thirds done with it. The impact study, we're in the process of developing the request for proposals. That should be going out shortly. There's been a lot of back and forth to make sure we've got it correct, and we between the county administrator and the county attorney and the housing authority, we've been back and forth on that. So we should be getting close to putting that out for bid. And then the home scattered rehab, which is $500,000, we're almost three-quarters done with that. I'd like to go to the next slide. I'd like to show you some houses that we worked on during the year. This is a home in Bridgeville, and it was a grandmother who's raising her three grandchildren. Her biggest problem, Mike Jones managed the case for us, and her biggest issue was energy. She couldn't keep the house warm. Her and the children were living in basically two rooms. They put blankets up to keep the heat in the kitchen and the living room, and Mike did the rehab on it, and he put insulation and siding and new windows, and he's brought it up to, you know, considerable, much more energy efficient than it was in the past. The next one is a ramp near Long Neck, and this came to us through a medical worker, and this was a lady in her late 80s, and her daughter, who's in her mid-60s, was living with her, and they both become disabled. The grandmother had been disabled, and we got a call that said they were basically housebound, so they asked if we could help with a ramp, and the next picture will show, so now they can get in and out of the house. And the third picture is a house outside of Route 17 in Selbyville. And this is kind of an interesting one. It was written up in August. And then when we got a call back, the contractor actually called Mike and myself down there. And there was a lot more damage than we had originally thought. The whole, in that middle section where the front door is, termites and moisture damage had eaten away the house, and it had actually started to collapse. So we had to take it apart, take the floors out, rebuild it, and then you'll see what it looks like when it's done. So, That's the same house, yeah. It's been a big improvement, and the lady's very happy with this this improvement. And it's actually helped the neighborhood, too. It's kind of made it look up.
How much did a job like that cost?
That was probably near our max of about $25,000.
So you do have a maximum limit you will give to one home?
Yes, yes. With that, we do have the ability to ask for a substantial rehab. We have to do that in writing to the housing authority a year in advance. So if we did really hit a bad house, we could ask for substantial rehab and go over that.
So when I go back to where I saw you had $64,000 grants to different towns, did that go to houses like this, or did it go to the town's infrastructure?
It went to houses like this.
So basically, you really only do two and a half houses
we average about $15,000 per house for every bad one we hit. We hit some that's just a roof and maybe some bathroom work, handicap accessibility, and that kind of thing. Some houses we go to and it's just a heater and some doors and windows.
Okay.
So we just kind of have an average, and we average about, depending on the town, like a town with an older houses like Laurel or Selbyville, sometimes they're more expensive, Georgetown and Seaford. And then there's some areas where we're kind of dealing with some newer houses and it doesn't take as much to rehab them. They don't have as much structural damage and that sort of thing. So Kent and Sussex counties aren't large enough to apply directly to HUD for funding. The Delaware State Housing Authority applies, and then we apply on behalf of the communities in Kent and Sussex County, and then we apply for the counties also. Now, in order to receive funding, someone has to be under the 80, what they call low to moderate income range, and that is the 80% of area medium income. So if you look at that bottom line there, that's what an individual household income has to be over. And you have a copy of our package, of our presentation on your desk. And if we do an infrastructure project like Georgetown, the majority of people that live in the area that infrastructure will serve have to be under those guidelines too. So they're very particular about where this funding goes. It must help low to moderate income people.
Question: how long do they have to live there before they can qualify for this?
Well, how they work, the minimum is there. They have to be there for a year before we can help them just by our guidelines.
1 year.
Most people have to live there. Most people have lived there much longer than that. Our average is probably, in a town, it's probably 4 or 5 years before. If you were to call us today, it would take us that long to get up to you on that list. Countywide, we have about 804 people. So if you were to call on the countywide list, it could take 5 to 7 years.
In other words, somebody could move from out of town or out of the country and move here and live 1 year, and they'd be qualified.
Well, it depends. They would go on the list. So if they lived out in the country, they would go on. They would be 805 on that list. They wouldn't go to the top. Now, a town list, sometimes towns only have 7, 8 people on the whole list. A small town like Frankfort or Blades, for example, that's a possibility. It would still take us a couple years to get to them.
I know you didn't make the laws and rules here, so I'm just asking. Now, in other words, the lesser they pay in a sense, the more they can get.
Well,
those that's paying really taxes and making money are not qualified. And those that don't make anything is more qualified.
Well, some people, a lot of our people are exempt, actually. They're over the age and the household limits.
That's what you were saying.
Yeah, it's because of their income is under the 80%. And actually, the majority of people that we did have an income under 50%.
Some music in the background here.
Ice cream man.
Sam, I'll take a chocolate ice cream cone. Double dip.
My son thinks that.
This year, there should be about $1.6 million in community development block grant funding and about in between $700,000 and $900,000 in home funding. If we could go to the next slide. Today's public hearing is our 14th public hearing of the year. So what you're seeing here is what the towns, we've been to all these towns and we've talked with them, and this is what we're applying for on their behalf. So this is the request that we're putting in. The majority of them are for housing rehabilitation. Bridgeville is asking for some demolition. And then Georgetown is asking for phase 3 of their street improvement project. Now, on the next slide, you'll see the areas that we're asking for on the county application, and they're scattered rehabilitation, demolition, scattered emergency rehab, scattered hookups, and then we're working in the five rural communities. We actually have about 12 rural communities that we work with, and we try to rotate some in and out as the need and the list grow. So we're going to be requesting to work again in the Cool Springs, Mount Joy, Ellendale, and rural Selbyville and West Rehoboth areas. And how we come about these numbers, Nicole Riddick and I serve on First State Strong Communities Board, and Dale McDowell serves on RC&D's board, and Brandy Bennett and I attend the housing group, the Sussex Housing Group. So we take input from these bodies, and then we kind of get a rough idea. And then the CDBG requirements require that we have an advisory board. So we take these rough draft to our advisory board. And on our advisory board, we have a very good advisory board. I think we're kind of lucky to have one of the best there is. We have Pastor Kim Teppelbach of Dagsboro Church of God. We have Sharita Bell, who's a Laurel resident, and she's very active in the Laurel community. We have Reverend Claudia Waters, who's been in the Frankfort area and has been serving residents in that area for many years. Then we have Bernice Edwards, who's the executive director of First State Community Action. So I'll take my suggestions to them. They'll review them, and then they'll put the final approval together as to what areas that we're going to apply for. So what you're seeing is the total request that we're going to put in, and it far exceeds the money that's available. And Ken will do the same thing. We'll put the money in. The Delaware State Housing Authority will break the applications apart. They'll review them and score them, and they'll actually go look at the sites that we're requesting funding for. Currently, as I said, we have 804 people on our countywide waiting list. We also have about 400 on the rural areas and the town list.
100?
We have 804 on our countywide waiting list. And I'd like to thank the council for the support they've given this program over the years. We've been doing this for some time, and I meet with a lot of mayors and town managers, and they realize how valuable the program this is to them. It gives their citizens a chance to help keep their housing up, and especially during the hard times. And before I open up for comment, I'd also like to take a minute to go over the emergency funding that the county council has given us. In 2013, the council gave us $230,000 for funding. And with that funding, we were able to assist an additional 48 homes. So that's 48 people that didn't go on the countywide waiting list. And of those homes, 67% of them were over the age of 65. 75% of the homes had disabilities. In the current year, 2014, the council has given us a total of $250,000. They give us $100,000 in the original budget, and then they increased that by $150,000 when more funding became available. To date, we've been able to help about 41 households, and we should be able to assist about another 15 to 20. And we've also assisted the residents of the group that came in last week at Hampton Circle. So that concludes my presentation. What you're seeing here is kind of how we prioritize the County Council emergency funding. We basically take the most severe issues, and that's how we use that funding. And it's been a very valuable tool to keep people off the list. I know 804 sounds like a lot, but last year it was probably 850 or 60, so we're dropping it. I know it's a process, but it definitely does a lot of good throughout the county. And I'd just like to thank you for your support, and I guess we would open it up for comments. Sure.
I have a question. George, George is a senior member here.
I don't care what to call him. You showed us, you know, all those line items with, like, say, 80,000, 80,000, 80,000. If you get to the, you know, towards the end of the year and one community didn't use the 80,000, do you have the flexibility to shift?
What we could do
around?
Yes. If we have exhausted our waiting list, we have the ability to shift the money to what they would call the countywide and use it in
all right.
Another community.
Okay.
Yes.
You don't have to, you can do it. You can make those executive decisions in your.
Well, I just do it
department.
In a letter. I do it in a letter to Delaware State Housing Authority. I say we've exhausted everybody. And it happened a few years ago. Sometimes we'll have a community that has ownership issues, and it's a lot of aired properties, and sometimes it's hard to actually get to the actual homeowner. In a couple of cases, we tell the housing authority we've exhausted. We've helped everybody we can. We'd like to move that money to another area.
And my second question would be then, and I think you maybe touched on it a little bit, rental property. I got a rental property, and I got people living in it, and I, as a landlord, you know, I'm negligent on providing them good housing. Are we putting money towards landlords who are just, money out of these people and not keeping the housing up? So we're not, none of these numbers we see are going towards
rental properties.
None of this money went to George Cole.
Sam Wilson's.
Up until recently, the Delaware State Housing Authority had the housing preservation loan. It was a 3% loan that landlords could take, regardless of the landlord's income, as long as their tenant's income was under a certain amount, and they could borrow up to $25,000 per unit at 3% to do housing rehab. The Delaware State Housing Authority, they put that on hold right now. I don't know if they're making some corrections. We've got a couple people that are still running through it.
Well, interest rates have come down so low, maybe they didn't really need that, but when it was 6 and 7%, the 3% was very attractive.
It was a very good deal.
Yeah, it's just not that attractive anymore, I guess.
And it was also available to people whose income were over our guidelines. I think it went up to 120% of area medium income, so they could borrow money for housing rehabilitation, and they could go up to $35,000 for a homeowner-occupied property.
Mm-hmm. Any questions?
I would like to, how do I quickly get the addresses of the, for instance, the four rehabs in Cool Spring?
I can send them to you.
I just would like to point that out. When I go to one of those community meetings, I want to sort of point that out. And I want to understand a little bit more about what you do. Now, you hire contractors to do this?
Yes.
You oversee what they do?
Yes.
Okay, so you're watching the money.
Yes. We're like a construction management company. We're actually taking the application, mm-hmm. we write the specifications up,
right.
We put the work out to bid, we get three prices or more, and then we manage the project as it goes along. And then we do the end of it with the State Housing Authority, the draws.
Mm-hmm.
As we do a certain amount, we draw the money down from the State Housing Authority.
And all the work's done to code, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So that's good for those old homes, right?
That's great. Thank you.
Any more questions, Mr. Whaley?
Sam, any questions?
Nope, we're good.
At this time, then, if there's nothing else from you, Mr. Whaley, is Brandy going to speak as well?
Yes, she has a resolution.
Well, I guess if there's no public
comment. Well, we have to have the public comment portion first. Is there anyone that would like to speak in regards to this? Yes, come on down.
My name is Dan Kramer. I noticed there's no trailers on there. You don't repair trailers or nothing?
Manufactured homes.
Hey, it's a trailer.
We do quite a few, actually.
Do you?
Yeah.
Second question I have. He brought it up last week, Cole did, about homeless people in a church. You explain to me how you can give that to a church.
Our funding don't go to churches.
That's all I want to know.
Do you ever have a lot of, included in your work, do you ever have a lot of junk in the yard that you have to pick up? I know you don't, your agency, your department doesn't clean up junk, but I'm just wondering, do you ever come across a lot of that?
Every once in a while, and sometimes we'll have the homeowner say, you know, we can't get to this project mm-hmm. until you clean this up enough mm-hmm. so our contractors can mm-hmm. get in. We have some elderly, we try to send them towards like Habitat for Humanity, who has a Brush with Kindness program, and sometimes they can do the yard work and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But it is an issue.
Yes.
And this year we do have more demolition funding than normal, so we should be able to do a lot of
good.
That too. So.
Good.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak in regards to this public hearing? Anyone else would like to speak? Mr. President, there was, just for the record, there was a statement given by Mr. Whaley concerning the community development block grants. Council had an opportunity to ask questions. It was open to the public, and upon the second call, there's no one else that would like to speak in this regard, so we can close the public hearing in this matter, and if there is a motion, it could be read at this point.
We will close public hearing and come make a comment. Do you have a motion, Mrs.?
We have two resolutions for your consideration.
Sure.
Please. Okay, the first one is an authorization to submit applications. Be it known, the Sussex County Council resolves to apply for community development funds from the Delaware State Housing Authority in accordance with appropriate regulations governing community development block grants for the State of Delaware Community Development Block Grant Program. And whereas the County Administrator Todd F. Lawson is hereby authorized to certify that matching funds in excess of $162,000 will be made available upon the approval by the Delaware State Housing Authority. And be it further resolved by the Sussex County Council that Todd F. Lawson County Administrator is hereby authorized to submit the fiscal year 2014 community development block grant applications with all understandings and certifications contained therein to the Delaware State Housing Authority.
So moved.
Motion Mr. Cole, second Mrs. Deaver to adopt the resolution. Any questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay, one more. Whereas the Sussex County Council recognizes the importance of fair housing for the citizens of Sussex County, and whereas the Sussex County Council supports the goals of the state and federal fair housing laws, now therefore be it resolved that the Sussex County Council heartily encourages all parties involved in the renting, selling, or financing of housing in Sussex County to ensure that no person shall, on the grounds of race, color, national origin, religion, handicap or disability, creed, sex, marital status, familial status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity, be discriminated against or denied a fair and equal opportunity for housing. And be it further resolved that the Sussex County Council, when acting as administrator of a block grant, is hereby authorized to take such actions as deemed necessary to affirmatively further fair housing in connection with applying for the community development block grant funding.
We should adopt that. Yeah.
Entertain a motion.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Phillips.
Second.
Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you, Council.
Mr. Lawson?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr.
President. Next week's meeting?
Yes. this morning I was made aware that we have already posted notice for our 1:30 hearings next Tuesday. However, we have a very thin agenda that would require you to come in at 10 and then wait until our 1:30 hearing. So I would recommend to council at this time we meet at an adjusted time of 1 o'clock tomorrow, next week, 1 p.m. to attend the public hearings that are already scheduled.
Okay.
1 o'clock for regular county business, 1:30 yes. for public hearing. Hearings.
Yes.
I make that motion.
Thank you, Mr.
Motion,
Phillips.
Mr. Phillips. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions
George
on the motion?
That.
I love that.
We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried.
I expect you on time, too, George.
Entertain a motion to adjourn.
Yes.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. We're now adjourned. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.